Begin to read in verse number 1 of chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. That's where we end tonight. So we've been talking about wisdom. We've been talking about, how God is the source of wisdom, true wisdom that God gives to that to us. And last week, you remember, if you think back a little bit, last week, that long sermon, it was about the fact that wisdom is vocal. It says it cries out, and it's visible. It was in the streets, out in the chief concourses, by the way. It's right there. It's out there shouting out, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and things like that we read last week. And so, yet we saw that even though wisdom is available and obtainable, reachable, yet so many, they don't see it. They don't obtain it. They can't grasp it. And the reason for that, of course, lost man is spiritually blind and inept, I guess, to understand spiritual truth. And they can understand, logical things. And God's wisdom is logical in many regards. But the deeper things and more, and like we talked about this morning, we talked about how the world deals with sin. And to them, that's very, loving and kind to try to make everybody feel comfortable and make everybody, comfort them in their sin. The problem is they don't see the other side. They don't understand that to mitigate the consequences of sin and to try to make things that are sinful seem good and okay, all they're doing is perpetuating them in their darkness, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's all they do is they actually help them to continue in sin rather than trying to show them that they need to get out of sin. Because that they don't see it. They don't understand that. That's not anywhere in their thoughts. And so wisdom that God gives is on a deeper level, a spiritual level, and God's people need to see that. Sadly, though, many Christians it escapes them. And I'm not going to go into a long explanation of these first set of verses, but we read here that we're to listen carefully. I kind of outlined the first five verses like this, and this is fast. Listen up, basically. He says, listen carefully. If you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you and incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to them. There's a lot there, but I don't think I have to belabor it. I think you get the point, is that he's saying you need to receive it, hear it, apply it, take it in, listen to it. Be careful to do that, right? Listen carefully. And then he says from verse 3 down verse 4 to pursue it personally. He says, if you will cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding and seek her like silver. And so it is available and it's there, but even though we have the light turned on in us, You know, the light of the gospel has shined in our hearts and we've been saved and we have the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ. We have that. We have that access. God speaks wisdom. It said there in about verse, what was it, 5-6? Out of His mouth. We are, you know, by His salvation and His redemption and His Spirit in us, we have the frequency, we can tune into that where the world doesn't. And yet, because of the fall, and we're still in this old flesh, we too can become dull of hearing and, you know, dim of eyes. And we also, you know, it's there, and we certainly can obtain it, but it takes some work, takes some effort. Would you agree with that? That's sort of what he's saying here. He's saying, you know, work at it. It's something that's worth your while to work at getting to know God, getting to understand God's ways, God's wisdom, seeing, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of it, and seek after that. Now, again, I think that I could try to say that in a lot of different ways and try to, you know, walk you through all of those things, but would you just grab that you want wisdom? It's what you want. You want it so badly, you're going to seek after it. You're going to listen carefully. You're going to desire it. You're going to hunger for it and thirst after it. Okay? Just nod your head with me there so I can move on. Okay. All right, so that's what you want. Now, if I want to get to the latter part of this text, and I want to spend some time to show you, and maybe, and because you do want that, I believe you do, but yet, you know, our wanter is a little bit lax, adaisical. That's a word. My mom used to use that word, lackadaisical. But anyway, we don't pursue it like we should. And if we see the benefit, if we really understand what it means when we get to know God in a deeper way, when we get to really learn and just, it's like we know these things. We know really a lot about it, but it's sometimes we don't grab it. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like the knowledge, if I say it, you go, yeah, I know that. You know it, but you're not really grabbing hold of it. You're not really applying it. You're not really taking it in your life when you're on the road of life, where the rubber meets the road, when you're going down the road of life and circumstances and situations and decisions and all these things come into your life. You sort of like forget all those things you learned, you know? And the pastor has to go, remember this and this and this? And you go, oh, yeah, okay. I'll pray, I got it, yeah, I see, you know, and God, and you can figure it out. But sometimes we just sort of revert back to making decisions and handling life in our own old ways, rather than applying what God has for us. But if we seek wisdom in every situation of life, all of you are going through things. Some of you are, it's health issues. Some of it's work issues. Some of it's financial issues. Some of it's parenting issues and marital issues and all these issues. We need God's wisdom for it. And when we seek it and when we really get in God's Word and get close to Him and get the Word of God in us, things happen. And I'll show you now what the benefits of it are. Look with me at verse number 7. We're just going to really expound 7, 8, 9, and that's where we'll end. He says, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now, the word buckler is not one that I right away knew what that meant. Some of you did, maybe. But that's because you're smarter than me, or you've read these things before or something. But I thought of, you know what I first thought of when I thought of a buckler? I thought of a belt, you know, a buckle or something like that. I thought maybe it means like it's a, you know, it's a belt to hold you together or something. But I looked it up in the Hebrew word and so forth, and actually it means a shield is what it means. It's a shield, and here's what the Strong's said. It says, a shield. It's also used to describe the scaly hide of a crocodile. Think of that. You know, they have those scales. They're like shielded, built-in armor, you know. And that's what it is. It's that protection. It's that defense. It's that armor for us. And the wisdom of God, when we apply it, when we walk in God's wisdom, it is a shield to our lives. You say, how does that, what do you mean by that? Well, think with me for a minute. We'll look up some scriptures. Look back just a minute at Proverbs 1:30. Is there 33? Yeah, 1:33. It's right there at the end of the chapter. It says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So he gives you that promise. Those who hearken to God will dwell safely. Now, you say, wait a minute. I know that there's times when Christians who are walking with God come into troubles, and it's true that that can happen. But as a general sense, and when it happens, if we are really walking in the wisdom of God, then God has a purpose for that. God has a reason for that. It's going to be good. It's a good thing. But generally, those who hearken to God and are walking in obedience to God, they have a protection around them. Do you agree with that? There's a shield. God is, watching over them, and they dwell safely. There's a defense there that God gives us. Let me show it to you in a couple other verses. Go to Psalm 145. Just back up a little bit into the book of Psalms. In verse number 20. Now you know this and you believe this, but you need to be reminded of it. Psalms 145 and verse 20, it says, the Lord preserveth all them that love Him. You could underline that if you'd like to. That's a nice verse, isn't it? The Lord preserveth all them that love Him. We were talking this morning, and let's finish the verse. It says, but all the wicked will He destroy. Okay? But He preserves. We were talking this morning about this missionary couple in South Sudan. Remember, we asked prayer for that in the morning service? And I was thinking about that, and when I thought about it, I said to my wife, I said, now, wait a minute, isn't that where Bethany Smith, you remember Bill Smith's oldest daughter, Bethany, she got married, and they're missionaries. I said, weren't they going to Sudan or Somalia or something like that? And she said, no, I don't think that's right. And so I looked it up, and Kennedy, she said, no, that's not right. Where are they going? Do you know?
Kenya.
Kenya, you're right. They are. They're going to Kenya. But I do think originally there was at one time, Bill said they were thinking about and praying about going to something like somewhere in that area. And, missionaries say these things. They say that in the will of God, you are safer. If you're in the will of God in Somalia or Iraq or Afghanistan or, wherever, you are safer there than you are anywhere in the world. I mean, have you heard statements like that? Missionaries make those statements. Is that true only for missionaries? No, it's true for all of us, right? That if we're in God's will, we're walking according to His wisdom, we're hearkening to His words, then God will protect us. How many have heard Christians say things like, like even with the Apostle Paul and so on, that they would not die, regardless of whatever persecution, God would not allow them to be killed until He was done with them, or until it was His time to take them home, right? Do we believe that? I believe that. I believe that if I'm God's child, I'm God's servant, that, yeah, I understand, that some drunk driver could run into me or whatever. I understand that. But I believe that God has a protection for His children, and He will not allow them to be killed or hurt in any way in which He, doesn't have a purpose for. And so I'm saying to you tonight that as you go through life, as you go through, trials or whatever type of life you're in, or your children, are there and there. And we have fears and we have worries, but we know that God is able. He's able to shield us. He's able to care for us. Go to 2 Chronicles Let me give it to you this in just kind of another angle. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32, verse number 7. Second Chronicles 30, I'm only in 25, so if you're there, just be patient. 32, here we go. Verse 7. Now, just so you know what's going on here, the king of Assyria has threatened Hezekiah and the kingdom of Judah. And Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, he was quite powerful. And Judah was sort of a smaller nation. They didn't have much army compared to the Assyrians. But notice what he says. This is, I think Hezekiah is speaking here. In verse number 7, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him." He had a huge army. But notice what he says. He says, "Don't be afraid of them." Why? "For there be more with us than with him." Now wait a minute. If you counted Judah's army, they'd probably said, Hezekiah, you need to do your math a little again, because I don't think that's true. But he said, there's more with us than there are with him. And then he says this. He says, with him, verse 8, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. But just think of that little phrase there, he says. When he says, there's more with us than with them, that kind of makes me think about Elisha. Remember Elisha had, he was surrounded, him and his servant Gehazi, and Gehazi said, "Oh no, look, we're surrounded." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And he saw all the angels that were watching over them. Remember that story? How many of you know that story? All right, that's what it kind of reminds me of. But then this phrase Hezekiah said, he said, "With them is the arm of flesh. All they have is the might of man," however mighty that is. And man's might in all of its strength is no match for God. And he said, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God." And so, is that true for you and me? Can we claim that promise? If we're in a situation, we're up against an enemy of some kind, whatever it be, can we say, "Hey, with them, you know, whatever that enemy, this is all they have. All they can do is physical. But with us, there's God." That's true. When is that not true? Well, the only time that I would be a little bit hesitant to claim that is if I haven't been walking in God's wisdom. Then I might say, I think I have God's help here, but I've been outside of God's will. Well, I'd be a little bit hesitant. But if I'm, so let's take it back to where we started. If I'm seeking after God's wisdom, if I'm trying to apply what God teaches in my life, when I do that, I have that buckler. I have the protection. I have the promise of His care for me. That's why it's important to seek God's wisdom and apply it. Hearken to it and, you know, search it out. Because it's a buckler to us. Let's see what else. We're back to Proverbs chapter 2. What else is it? Well, verse 7 tells us that it's a buckler. Verse 8 says, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I thought on that for a little while to figure out what he was talking about. The first one is protection against enemies and against harms from without and so on. This one more is a, it's a protection for our path, or it's a prosperity, a blessing to our path. are, you know, he says he keepeth the path and the judgments. Now, judgments, usually you think that word, you think of, oh, okay, you're getting judged, you're being, you know, disciplined, you're being judged for something wrong. No, what does judgments mean? Judgments is talking about what is your judgment on this? What is your decision? You know, that's what a judgment is. It's talking about what do I see is the right path. I'm deciding about a path. My judgment is, let's go this direction. And when you're walking in God's wisdom, when you're walking with the Lord, He blesses that path that we choose and take. Because it's in His will, right? And there's in that path, there's blessing. So that's why, again, it's important to seek the wisdom of God, because it's a buckler, it's a protection to us, but it also brings God's favor and blessing upon our ways, upon our path. Let me show it to you. Oh, boy, this was not very smart. I just had you in 2 Chronicles 32, didn't I? I want to go to 2 Chronicles 31 now. Some of you went ahead like me and turned back to Proverbs and said, well, thanks. Why didn't you tell me to stay there? Well, I didn't think that far ahead. 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 21. Back to Hezekiah. Did you know Hezekiah? Like, next to David, he's my favorite king. Hezekiah is a great king. He really was. He comes to Judah and reigns and follows the reign of Manasseh, who was wicked. And I mean, Judah had gone, boy, they were a mess. There was idolatry, the temple was in ruins, and they hadn't kept anything for God for a long time. And Hezekiah comes in and he says, you know, things are different now, boys. We got to get back to God. This has gone way wrong for so long, and now it's time to build up the temple. It's time to reinstate the Passover. It's time to, tear down the idols, get rid of all these false gods. We got to change things in this kingdom. And so he does. And as he does, I wanted to draw your attention to, verse 21. This is the verse that sums it up here. Verse 21, chapter 31. It says, "And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart." Now notice the last two words. "And prospered." He prospered. Why? Because God prospered him in doing it. Back up just for a moment to verse number 4 in the same chapter. And let's look at what goes on here. It says, "Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priest and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord." So he says, listen, guys, you haven't been giving the tithe, and it's time to start tithing again to encourage the servants of the Lord. And in verse 5, as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn and wine and oil and honey and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundance and abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. They brought their offerings in, and it was heaping up. They had these big heaps of things that their tithe. And it says, "In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the 7 months." So they were like, you know, in the third month, they started, and it's beginning to pile up, and for up to the seventh month, 4 months, they're piling the tithe up here. And it was big, right? It was a big offering. And Hezekiah, verse 8, "When Hezekiah and the princes came, they saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord." They said, "Wow, thank you, Lord." And then Hezekiah questioned with the priest and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief of the priests of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. So he says, what is all this heap? And he said, the guys, you know, they've been bringing the tithe. And here's what I want you to think about. I want to do this fast, but you think, well, there's this big bunch of offerings because everybody's finally tithing again. It's true. But it wasn't just because they were tithing. Because they were tithing, God was increasing them. And as God increased them, their tithe increases, right? Doesn't that make sense? And so their offerings go up exponentially. That's a word everybody uses. I don't even know what it really means, but it just does that. And it goes, you know, it's growing because as they're obedient and faithful, God brings blessing to their, I mean, their crops are doing good. They're not in a famine. There's rain. They're abundantly. The cattle are, you know, they're just prospering in every way. And so their offerings just mound up because God is blessing all of their herds and their crops and their lives and their business and everything. And I'm saying to you tonight that when we seek God's wisdom and we do things God's way, He prospers our efforts. I'm not preaching, you know, health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, like that kind of thing. But it is true, is it not? That God blesses in that way? It's true. He's going to care for us. He's going to bless us. When does that happen? That happens when we seek the wisdom of God. We're looking into the Word of God. We're trying to apply the Bible. We're really trying to... This is not something that, you know, we just come to church and we hear things and we go out and we live however. We're really honestly trying to live what God says in His Word. And as we do that, He's going to protect us and He's going to prosper us. That's the promise that we get back in Proverbs. Let me show it to you in Isaiah. Turn with me, please. I want to show you this verse because you'll love it. Isaiah 45, verse 2. Isaiah 45, verse 2. Let's see if I can get there before Kennedy. I got there. Did you get there? Ah, see, she beat me. Isaiah 45, verse 2. I will go before thee. Here's what the Lord says. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. What's that kind of picture to you? We're talking about the path. Remember back in Proverbs? God will bless the path. The judgment of the righteous. He makes the crooked straight. He straightens it out for you. And He breaks down the gates that block the way. And He just prepares the road before you. And those who walk in God's wisdom find that that's true. It's fun, you know, when the Smiths are going to start this church. And because I know the Smiths, unless something really weird happens, I know that they've been faithful and they're walking in God's will. And you watch, when they start that work, how God's going to open the path. It's just going to go, and things are going to happen. They're going to go, wow, God's doing that. It's going to happen because I've seen it here. I've seen it other places. Where you just start walking in God's wisdom and God just sort of parts the waters, He smooths the path, He puts blessings along the way, and that's what God does. So, we're almost done. Back, we got one more verse to look at in Proverbs 2, verse 9. You remember, as you're turning there, I'll remind you of this verse. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's Psalms 1, verse 3. And so, that's what the Lord does for those who walk in His wisdom. Last verse, verse 9, Proverbs 2. When we seek, first of all, we listen carefully. Hide my commandments with thee. Incline your ear to the wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. And then we pursue it personally. criest after it, lift up your voice, seek like silver, like you're seeking for silver, then what you find is you find God is a buckler. God brings your pathway. He brings blessing. And then verse 9, shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. What is all of that? Well, basically, it says, you know, as you seek His wisdom, God does these things for you, and then that wisdom just increases. It becomes more, more a part of you, to where, you know, you grow in the Lord, and you know people like Pastor Stastny and other people, and you go, you know, they've just got it figured out. They just do. Because they've walked that path long enough that they see it a lot easier than some of us. And that's why we go to them for counsel, right? That's why we look to them for answers. Because they understand righteousness and judgment and equity or fairness and every good path. So, if that's what the result is, then wouldn't you want to start really getting a hold of God's ways, God's wisdom? And really, I mean every day, Monday to Friday, Saturday, every day, seeking, going to the Word of God every morning, getting things from God, putting them in your life. Decisions you made on Sunday, keep them in your life, because this is the result. Let's stand.